Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you, Dave. Mercy, it's a beautiful day out here in Baltimore, and I have to say, let's make it a big deal because I think that we had the last hurrah of snow yesterday. Please keep your fingers crossed for us. Please, because all of us at this point are posting nasty sayings in Facebook and on Twitter about it. We just don't want to lose our positive side of our personalities this much longer, because it has been relentless. So, with that said, welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. I'm really excited about today. Now, Kevin Eubanks doesn't have a whole lot of time. I'm really surprised that he even said yes to having an interview today, because in 2 days, he will be doing a three-day gig at Blues Alley in D.C., so he's coming from the West Coast. You know how it is as far as packing, getting gear, making sure all the folks who are going to be on stage with you are intact, nobody gets sick, nobody has any dental emergencies, tra-la, tra-la. So I'm really tickled. He's going to spend 30 minutes with us, and I'm excited. Can you tell? Anyway, I want to tell you before the show ends today who all is coming up as far as guests are concerned, because they are happening in droves. Folks are coming to Hybrid Jazz now, so get ready for the lineup. Let's start off with a classic while I have another cup of coffee. Stan Getz, Charlie Bird from the Immortal, seriously, 1962 Jazz Samba album. This is El Luxo Sol.
Thank you.
This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Because she is quite a lady. I have so much respect for Alison Crockett, I can't say. We have gone through Alison's background a few times here on Hybrid Jazz. She has actually been a guest last year. One of those individuals, honestly, you know them in your area. Wherever you are in the country or in the world, there is a musician or a singer, some kind of artist that when you see them, and when you hear them speak and they do their art, whatever it may be, you think to yourself, oh, my God, this is one of those people that belongs to the world. Why is she here? I mean, it's kind of like that with Alison. She's very down to earth. Do not get me wrong about that, but she's just so beautiful. And she's so magnificent as far as writing is concerned. She does a blog, and it's called MsDivaBlue.blogspot.com. Very controversial subject sometimes. She is strongly opinionated. She has a depth of music in her that is hard to pinpoint. What you just heard is from 2003's On Becoming a Woman. Of course, the Janet Jackson song, When I Think of You. Alison has a more recent work called Mommy, What's a Depression? Couple of things that you should know. First of all, Alison's got a big Blues Alley show coming up in June, and it's basically going to be about what she says is her American dream pertaining to Mommy, What's a Depression? If you pick up that CD, you will find out a lot, a new definition of variety, because this woman across the board is so vastly different, and that's what I really mean to say about Alison Krauchet. She's so different than a singer who is amazing. There's a whole lot more to her than meets the eye, and I just found out this morning, actually, that there is a house blend, if you will. Luca, the artist from South Africa, teamed up with Alison for a song called Love Glow. It's on her Facebook page. If you're not friends with her, see if she wants to be friends with you. And maybe you can pick that up through other means. I just found out about it this morning, but what you need to know is the Blues Alley gig in June, and the name of the artist, Alison Krauchet. Yes. East Bay Soul 2.0 is the second tune that we heard, To Catch a Thief. Greg Adams and the guys are going to be doing their thing. Oh, are they ever. I just love, Beach, you understand this when I tell you, when we see these dates coming up over and over again, we get so excited that the true funk soldiers of East Bay Soul are all about seeing them in concert. And if you have an opportunity, don't pass it by, because it will be the show of your year, seriously. Yoshi's in Oakland on the 10th of July. Yeah, they're going to be in Reading, Pennsylvania. Yes. Also, Spaghettini's. My friends already have their tickets. And then they're going to be, I'm so excited about this, at Ram's Head in Annapolis. When they were there, not this past Christmas season, but last December, nobody could believe what they were seeing on that rather intimate stage. But the tickets went fast. If you have the chance, anybody who went there last year will be back. Get those tickets fast. Ram's Head on stage. Go get them. Stan Getz, Charlie Bird, to start the show. It was released in April of 1962. They recorded in February at All Souls Unitarian Church in Washington, D.C. Yes, they did. This was the first major bossa nova album on or in American jazz, and everybody went nuts. Stan, of course, on saxophone. Charlie, who was the inspiration for getting all of this together. Charlie Bird on guitar. Keeter Betts, Joe Bird, Charlie's brother. Two drummers from Philly, Buddy Deppenschmidt. Gesundheit, hon. And also Bill Reichenbach. Buddy is the only one we have left at the age of 78. Oh, my God. They won a Grammy, all of that ensemble, for Desdifanato, the track from that particular album. But you heard Iluxo Sol. Woo! Just love to say the words. So nice. I am psyched. Yes, I am. Kevin Eubanks. You, of course, know him from his many years on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. And there's so much more to Kevin than meets the eye. We're talking about how many albums? I really do have to count. Maybe The Messenger, his latest, is his 22nd. Honest to goodness, that is the truth. Has worked throughout the years, and he must have a big government clearance, honestly, because he was part of a government-sponsored tour that went all over the world. He has worked with so many fabulous people. Kevin insists on being as variable as he can with that guitar. And I have heard, since we talked about Kevin being on the show, that to many people, Kevin Eubanks represents the best of what they want to be, because I've talked to a bunch of guitarists. My friend Ron Abrams, I'm telling you, he's beside himself today. He called me three times yesterday to say to me, how did you get Kevin Eubanks on the show? Oh, my God, his voice was shaking. It's ridiculous. But this is the kind of fervor that Kevin Eubanks commands. He'll be here in the third hour of the show. Let's turn our attention to the Washington Women in Jazz Festival, shall we? In progress in D.C., Jen Krupa and Lee Pilzer, trombone and saxophone, respectively. They have a quartet. You know I love it when the ladies get together. This is called Walkin' Shoes from 2008's JLQ on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you.
like a sister or brother, and taking care of me like my own mother. And like my family doctor, you sustain my health. Oh, and I don't need fortune or fame, 'cause you're my greatest wealth. And when I was falling down, you lifted me to higher ground. There's no one sweeter to be found. So baby, please stay around, 'cause we've got love. We've got love.
Fidelity and honesty, and one more.
I should have left that for the end of the show because I think I probably lost some of you right now because you've got other things in mind now. Woo! That song. Just said on Facebook, if you don't get into a mood when you hear that song, you ain't going to get in a mood at all. You know what I mean? Retro Soul, the name of the CD from 2008. Those are the Chestnut Brothers. Al Chestnut and Ty Chestnut. Now, the thing is that I wanted for today some semblance of Philly sounds because Kevin Eubanks is the guest on the show in the third hour. Kevin is from Philadelphia. In case you didn't know that, oh, she says that with utmost pride. Yes, indeed, Kevin Eubanks is from Philadelphia. So on tap, besides the Chestnut Brothers, we have Abstract Truth, and we have Stanley Clark waiting in the wings, just to make Kevin feel right at home. By the way, Al Chestnut has a single called Touch Me in a Special Way, which coincides real nicely with the song that you just heard, We've Got Love. Oh, sure enough, we do. Now we do. Thank you, Alan Ty. We also heard from Ben Williams on bass, one of the, seriously, the sources of pride of Washington, D.C. Mercy. If you have not heard State of Art, his CD that came out a couple of years ago, pick that up. What he did so tenderly was Moonlight in Vermont. And special shout out to Ben's mom because she was the one who paved the way for his interest in jazz. Her LP collection was known all over the neighborhood. So Ben would just pick something out and listen to it, and he just got the hunger. And boy, did it ever pay off, because not only is he known as one of the premier young bassists in the world, if you're touring with, if you get picked by Pat Metheny to come into the band and stay for a while, Pat, understand, doesn't tolerate foolishness. So if Pat Metheny thinks you're good, you're better than good. So I'm excited because now I find out, among other things that are happening on that particular date, and I'm just going to tell you it like it is, Joshua Breakstone is playing on the 21st. Kevin Eubanks is playing on the 21st, and Pat Metheny's group is also playing Crosstown at the Strathmore, and Ben Williams is going to be playing with Pat, of course. And folks in Philadelphia at the Keswick in Glenside, if it's not sold out yet, Pat and the guys are going to be there on the 22nd, day after. So Moonlight in Vermont, just so you know, is the unofficial, or is it the official? Unofficial state song of Vermont, and it's played at a whole lot of weddings. Isn't that nice? Yeah. We heard, too, from California girl Jen Krupa and her buddy Lee Pilzer, just extraordinarily talented women. Jen is with the U.S. Navy band, the Commodores. Lee has been playing saxophone for a while, and actually she's in the Bohemian Caverns Jazz Orchestra. You heard them do Walkin' Shoes from the JLQ, the Jen Krupa Lee Pilzer Quartet CD. On the 20th, they're going to play the music of Melba Liston on behalf of the Washington Women in Jazz festivities this week, and that's going to be at the Smithsonian. It's free, by the way. If you go to the Washington Women in Jazz website, You'll learn all about it. As we mentioned, Kevin will be here, Kevin Eubanks, in the third hour of the show. Not that long ago, several days, matter of fact, Kyle Eastwood was here. Have to make mention of the fact, you'll hear me mention this on Thursday's show when Bobby Caldwell will be with us, by the way. Kyle's going to be at Bethesda Blues and Jazz this Sunday. Yeah, some kind of musicianship on that stage. Whew! From the view from here, this is From Rio to Havana on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
This is Hybrid Jazz.
Thank you. I play the streetlights
That's 11 minutes of ear candy, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you agree? Woo! Golly! Man. Good to the very last drop. Street Life from 1979, Joe Sample and the Crusaders, with the amazing one-of-a-kind, and I think... What can we say about Randy Crawford? Doesn't get enough of the props that she deserves. I think that puts it in a nutshell. She does not sound like anybody else. She just turned 62 this year, and I know that she lamented not being with Joe on tour this past summer because Joe was not feeling well after his Creole Joe tour, and I think that now, since he's cooking vats of chili, he's feeling better, so hopefully you will get a chance, or any of us will get a chance to see Joe and Randy on the road this summer. Keep your fingers crossed for that. Street Life, the song written by Will Jennings, one of the most prolific songwriters on the face of this earth, not only as far as country music is concerned. That's how I know him, from all the times we spent in Nashville and being a country music disc jockey, but in pop circles and in Joe Sample's world, because they've been friends since dirt. That's what my son would say. A long time. And if they never collected royalties from another song again, they could do it and live comfortably from Street Life, because that's been in Sharky's Machine with Burt Reynolds in 1981, in Tarantino's Jackie Brown from 1997. It's been on commercials. You hear that song in your head, don't you? On the album, Oscar Brashear, Styx Hooper, Wilton Felder, Paul Jackson Jr., Alfonso Johnson, and more. Just star-studded. Beautiful, beautiful. Man, to go back into the 70s, just a time or two, just to remember. So nice. We heard from EC3, It's All About the Rhythm, and a song that was written by Frank Foster called Simone. I draw attention to that because of Janelle Gill. And Janelle was the piano player on that particular piece. And I should tell you that Michael Bowie was also on that. Michael Bowie's been on the show on bass. EC, of course, on drums. And I bring the attention to Janelle because of this, and I have to find my place in order to tell you everything I need to tell you. First of all, there is going to be a concert that will take place on the 28th of March at Andy Music here in Baltimore. This is what we've been talking about when we had Amy Bormitt from Washington Women in Jazz and Ellen Sealing, who's drawing attention to the rally to get Wynton Marsalis' attention because of the Jazz at Lincoln Center ban and it being a boys' club since its very inception. Here comes this March 28th concert at Andy Music. This is called Musée, and Musée means, it's, as far as I can determine from what Irene Jalenti told me, is that Musée, collectively, Greek goddesses of music, dance, and the arts, and they co-inspire one another. So thus is the case of this show next week on North Charles Street. Delandria Mills, Amy Shook, Jessica Boykin-Settles, who just blew everyone's mind at the Washington Women in Jazz Festival the other day. Whew! Rachel Winder, Irene Jalenti, Savannah Harris, Janelle Gill, who you just heard. They are all part of this, all women, all playing together, which is what we have in mind. I absolutely love that, and I had to play something by Janelle. Now, I will tell you that Irene will be with us next Tuesday, along with 70 Degrees West, which is an all-male band. It's okay. It's okay. Take a breath, because I figure that local and regional folks have to take their example from what the national folks do, okay? So I'll be gentle with Leon and Eddie. Eddie Backus Jr. might be visiting the show at that time, too. So it's all okay. It'll all work out. Baby steps. Some of the baby steps, though, have to turn into giant steps because, Wynton Marsalis, you are long overdue to get this message. I digress. EC3, by the way, if you go to ec3drums.com, there is a place where you can help this fine gentleman get his life back together. He and our friend Clint Heisen were EC has a house in Las Vegas, but he's back and forth to this region so much that he spends half the time in D.C., half the time in Vegas, and then he's touring. Well, they had a house fire at Clint's house, and they lost pretty much everything. If you would like to contribute, there is a way to do that directly if you go to the website, ec3drums.com, and thank you for your support. Kyle Eastwood, we heard to start the set from the view from here, from Rio to Havana. Kyle is going to be at Bethesda Blues and Jazz this coming Sunday. Then he will be at the Blue Note in New York City, then Ronnie Scott's and Pizza Express in the UK, the Isle of Wight Jazz Festival. We better get it in and see him while we can in the States because he's going to work himself back to France where he lives. And I think he's tidied things up with Dad as far as the Jersey Boys soundtrack is concerned. So if you have a chance to see Kyle Eastwood, go to his website, very simple, kyleeastwood.com, and find out where you can go see him. We have, in less than 1 hour, Kevin Eubanks stopping by and is in the chat room. I want to make sure I play a little tasty treat from his Amplify CD, because I promised I would to a few folks. Just want to make sure you hear another taste of Philly, although this particular gentleman is not with Pete on this track that's coming up, but it just sounds that way. And we like to hear the folks that either are authentically from the city of brotherly love here on this show, or if you can fake it real well, we like that too. Some folks who really are from my hometown, Abstract Truth with G. Lawrence Francis. This is back a few years ago. Oh, my gosh. When some of us heard this, it was nuts. Had an occasion to have all of the guys in the group at my studio when I was working in a terrestrial radio station a few years ago. It was crazy. Good, because people were coming down the highway listening to the music, and it sounded like something that was from a recording studio. It was just that hot. One of the coolest songs you'll ever hear, Seasons Change. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Until the morning comes, wanna hold you tight through the long dark night, my love. Until the morning comes, it's just you and me. This is no fantasy, my love. Until the sun goes down, though we're far apart, we're so close at heart, my love. Until the sun goes down, as we're rushing home, talking on the phone, my love.
Few weeks ago, and I'm losing track just because the calendar is being so filled, and I'm looking at the past few months since 2014 and just expressing gratitude for the depth of talent that we've had. Pete and I communicate behind the scenes, and he was telling me about this gentleman who you just heard on Pete Gitlin's Amplify CD from 2012, the amazing, the legendary Dennis Rowland. Here's the thing. I did not know, and of course, being the kind of person I am, I get very upset when I hear that folks have taken ill. Dennis had a stroke after he recorded this particular track, Until the Morning Comes. This is how Pete Gitlin ended Amplify, and it was just so cool because it was Dennis and, of course, Pete playing guitar and Michael Browning on keyboards, Mel Brown on bass, and John Herrera, Ted Belladin, beautiful artistry. Well, Dennis had a stroke after he did his part for Amplify, and there was a huge community event in Arizona, and it just seemed to have gone hand in hand with well wishes and prayers, because Dennis is doing so well, and I'm so tickled. Pete said that he's sounding great again and back to his, apparently, from what I can see on his Facebook page, ornery self. I love that. So I'm really happy. Until the Morning Comes, from Pete Gitlin's Amplify CD. Not to be confused, by the way, with something that we discussed when Pete was on the show, which is his new single, Epiphany for the Children, doing very well. And I'm so proud of you, Pete. He's in the chat room today. Because if you go to PeteGitlin.com, there it is, right there, how to order the single via CD Baby, via iTunes, Amazon.com. Please get it. You will be so enriched. Leah Capelli is doing vocals, and she is her young self and her old soul have combined to make this a work of art. And Pete's guitar wizardry, what can I say? Just really beautiful. So thank you for that, Pete. That was so nice. Until the Morning Comes. Stanley Clark, woohoo, from 1988, Working Man, from If This Bass Could Only Talk. Let me just clue you in on something. I know a little bit more about Stanley Clark than I should know, because his friend Lou is also my friend, and Lou has known him since high school. I know far too much about Stanley. So If This Bass Could Only Talk means somebody going to get in trouble, because I will not tell those secrets. Woo! Fanning myself here. Philly's own Stanley has on this particular album the late, great George Howard, also from Philly, Stuart Copeland from The Police. Yes. Two of my favorite people that have ever breathed in this lifetime that we share now, George Duke and Gregory Hines on this. Also Wayne Shorter, Byron Miller, Freddie Hubbard. You know how outstanding this project is. So if you want to do a little bit of hunting around and get some real tidy and very interesting jazz, because, you know, Stanley has delved into this particular byway, this avenue, this road here and there that's funky. This was a lot of jazz on this particular project. Very, very nice stuff. AbstractTruthMusic.com, that's where you will go find Philadelphia's own Abstract Truth. And that's with G. Lawrence Francis. Seasons Change, the name of the album from 2008. The group is going to be with Roy Ayers in Cherry Hill, New Jersey on the 10th of May. So you might want to check out their roster, see where you can find them. By the way, if you hear from time to time this, it sounds like stuff falling. It is. It's snow falling from the roof here in our village in Baltimore County. The sun has come out just enough to make it slide, so it's a thump, thump. So don't be alarmed. Hopefully Kevin Eubanks won't hear it at the top of next hour. We'll see. You know, that particular vibe, actually a couple of vibes, Abstract Truth and then this song that you just heard from Pete Gitlin, it makes me think that I want to change things up just a little bit, and I want to get more into that kind of groove, if you will allow me. This is going back to 2007. Walter Beasley, who we haven't heard from for a while. He's busy, good friends with Gabrielle Goodman, teaching at Berkeley, doing some instruction online. His, honestly, website is abuzz with different things that he's delved into. Just love the way he does Free from Ready for Love from a few years ago on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. This is Hybrid Jazz.
Bother me, honey, that a piece of roast beef can't fix up.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Pop. A man works hard, then comes on home, expects to find stew with that fine ham bone. He opens the door, then starts to looking.
Say, woman, what's this stuff you cooking? Now all that meat and no potatoes, I just right there like a green tomato.
Here I'm waiting, palpitating with all that meat
and no potatoes.
All that meat and no potatoes. All that food to the alligators.
Now hold me steady, I'm really ready. Now all that meat and no potatoes.
I don't think that peas are bad. With me, most anything goes.
Yes, I look in the pot. I'm fit to fight. Cause, woman, you know that mess just ain't right.
Oh, that's all that meat and no potatoes just ain't right, like green tomatoes.
Woman, I'm steaming, yeah, really screaming. All that meat and no potatoes. Rice, beans just ain't right.
Oh, Pop, all that meat and no potatoes just ain't right, like green tomatoes.
Now, woman, I'm steaming and I'm really screaming.
It ain't ration.
All that meat
and no potatoes.
We'll be right back.
had to do it. Oh, had to play a little Louis Armstrong and Velma Middleton, who, by the way, doesn't get a whole lot of credit when you delve into the actual credits of all those projects, of all those years gone by, spent with Mr. Armstrong. Seems like the female vocalists, because there weren't a whole lot of female instrumentalists, God knows, but the females did not, and because I've done my research, I've had to actually look to see who is singing with the folks who are fronting the bands. So Velma Middleton is one of those cases. Man, what a character. Sure wish I had known her. She was a large lady from Oklahoma, and Louie came to value her as absolute family. She was one of those singers, a lot of comic relief. She would actually do splits on stage. She was very flexible. And she and Pops were so close. I mean, it was just, you know, a platonic situation, because Louie had his own problems with the lady. Another story entirely. But Velma and he were so tight, and it just makes me crazy to think about that from 1942 to 1961, they were together on stage and doing those big highway situations where everybody was crowded into one vehicle or on a train. And she took ill in Sierra Leone, and she passed away in 61. So she was with Louis Armstrong up until the time of her death. Velma Middleton, Louis Armstrong, all that meat and no potatoes. Don't you ask any questions about that song. From Satch Plays Fats, the music of Fats Waller, 1955. Wasn't that a treat? We also heard from Kenny Barron with a Tom Harrell song, Chris McNulty. She liked it. I love Chris so much. You love her, too. She's been on the show a couple of times. Sail Away from Wanton Spirit, 1995. Kenny Barron with Roy Haynes and Charlie Hayden. Oh, dear God. You know, Pete Gitlin was just talking about how he plays that song with his guys out and about in Arizona, and he does it more up-tempo, and this, Pete says, was a more peaceful interpretation. You want to find some peace, you go to Kenny Barron's website. Man, it's just, I like to linger there. The song that gets played is on repeat, and the song is just spectacular. You get to see Kenny Barron's tour dates, which are just crazy, by the way. He's going to be with his Platinum Quintet featuring Linda O, coming to the University of Maryland, and he's going to be at Playboy Jazz with Ravi Coltrane. But there's a whole lot more dates, and you get to see the biographical information on Kenny Barron playing with Dizzy Gillespie and Freddie Hubbard and Stan Getz and Yusef Lateef, who he played with, and then he played with the others, and then he came back to play with Yusef. And, of course, big, big love for Mr. Barron, because back in high school, you know the story, I used to get, for my birthday, I used to get Nubian Lady played for me in high school and then into college days. Johnny Kraft from WMMR in Philadelphia, the great rock station. Yes. Yes, I think that we have time for a song before Kevin Eubanks joins us. Oh, and by the way, we have to say Professor Walter Beasley, free from Ready for Love. Walter Beasley is going to be at the Birchmere in Alexandria, Virginia on the 28th of March. WalterBeasley.com has more information. Got to play this song. I absolutely love this from The Messenger. Kevin Eubanks, guitar mastery right here. It's called Loved Ones on Hybrid Jazz. Thank you. Isn't that gorgeous? Oh, now that's the kind of track that you would normally leave until the end of the show to just bring things in perspective, but I don't think I could have waited because I just wanted to share that so much. When you feel a song, sometimes you don't know what's coming up, which is the usual case if you're listening to a particular album for the first time. But when you've heard an album like 4 or 5 times, and then all of a sudden a song that maybe you were doing something else, you were in the kitchen or you had it as background, all of a sudden that particular song hit me so hard in the past few days. Thinking of people I have known, thinking of various scenarios through the years, and actually feeling back there in Philadelphia or New Jersey or Ocean City, Maryland, or Rehoboth Beach or Nashville. The name of that song is called Loved Ones, and it really stuck at me. I was mesmerized. The sun was just coming out, and I felt the song so deeply, so I thought, why wait? Let's just play it now. And I know that Kevin Eubanks didn't hear me play that song, but he'll most assuredly know in a second because he just joined us on the line. I want to give you a big build-up to this man. He has about 30 minutes with us today. He is so much more than somebody from Philadelphia that I always find an excuse to play anyway because it's my hometown too. A guitarist that's extraordinary, a composer that surprises folks constantly because of the versatility involved, a band leader, a teacher, someone who really has, honest to goodness, since folks have known that Kevin Eubanks was going to be on Hybrid Jazz, I have heard from more people popping out of the woodwork to say, are you kidding me? So Ron Abrams and company listening today, this is the much-respected, multi-talented Kevin Eubanks. Hey, Kevin!
Hello! Wow, thanks for such an introduction. Wow,
oh, are you
beautiful.
Are you kidding me? First of all, you are a Philly homie. I am going to build you up.
I didn't know you were from Philly.
I sure am. Jenkintown, PA, right up the road from Broad Street. So I know all about your roots, and I'm just proud to have you. Thanks for being here.
Wow. I'm glad to be here. I just got out the gym. I'm in Jenkintown right now.
Get out.
I'm right up. I'm on 611 right now.
Oh, my God. That is crazy. Well, listen,
right.
You got to stop by. My cousin is the pastor of Immaculate Conception right there on West Avenue, so you have to drop by. That is ridiculous. Wow.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Listen,
oh, yeah.
I'm so tickled. You're going to be spending 3 days in our extended neighborhood in Blues Alley. We're very excited about this.
Oh, I love playing Blues Alley. I go there once a year, the same time every year. It's just turned into an annual gathering, and I know some people, they go to D.C. that time, and they always come by, and I see that I'm starting to know people because they come every year, and it's turning into a real nice affair, a nice event. And that's one of the clubs that when I was first starting out, they would hire me no matter what. They just said, you know, we just have faith in you. Whenever you need to play here, and I'm just getting started. Nobody had any idea who I was. And, you know, you're trying to just find places to play. And they would always give me some consideration. So whenever this time of year comes up, I always go back and play. And we always have a blast.
Oh, no doubt. It's just one of those venues. I love the idea that folks get to see you up close and personal because, Kevin, I just played that song from The Messenger. You know how much that song has come to mean to me, Loved Ones? It's so breathtaking and so personal. Would you share a little bit of what inspired you to write that song?
Well, that was on the West Coast, I just moved into a new area there. I moved up towards the Central Coast, and it's right by the ocean, right? So I thought, I'll be up there, and I'll start writing more and this and that, and it turns out I couldn't write a single note once I moved there. Nothing. I was just so caught up in being by the ocean, watching watching nature, and you know, I was out of the city for the first time in so many years. I mean, I've lived in nothing but cities: Philly, Boston, New York, you know, Brooklyn, New York, and L.A. And I said, you know what? I'm just done with cities. I'm going to move up here in the boonies. And, you know, so you romanticize that you're going to write all this music. I couldn't get anything out. I just couldn't get motivated. I really couldn't. It took me by surprise. So one night, I'm just playing. I'm watching, you know, just watching outside. It was dark. Stars were out. I mean, it's beautiful. It really is. And all of a sudden, that song came out. And that's the first song, it's almost the only song. I'm working on another song now, but that's the only song I ever wrote since I was up there. And it just kind of came out. Usually you have to work on a song a bit, try it out, listen to it a few days later, see if anything moves around, you feel anything different. That song seemed like it was just waiting to come out. And that it just caught me so off guard. It was really late at night. It was really quiet. All you can hear is the ocean, you know. And all of a sudden, this song came out. And I didn't know what to call it, but I just kept playing it over and over. I recorded it and listened to it. And then one day it just popped to me. It just reminded me. I said, well, what does it remind you? I said, it just makes me think of the people that I love and really close friends, and it just made me think of loved ones, whether they're family or friends or whatever, and it just was sitting right there for me. So I said, well, this has got to go on the record.
Oh, well, thank you for it, because I just got finished explaining to folks how it made me feel. It's one of those songs that transports you, and one of the memories that I have in Philly is that we would spend our summers in Ocean City, New Jersey. And we had a house that had no air conditioning, so we would be upstairs, and there was a few bedrooms upstairs, and the window would always be open, and I would hear the ocean roll in at night, trying to fall asleep, and you just got finished telling me that that being in that area inspired you, so there must be an ocean connection. How about that?
I love that. I love the ocean, and it just is so soothing. As many people do. I mean, we love being by the ocean, and it's really nice. And that was the first song I got there, so hopefully that more things will come out from me being up there. But I thought it was going to be, you see in the movies, people are by the ocean in there. You know, they look at the ocean, these songs come out. Not really. Not so much. Not really. You're just sitting there. There's nothing coming out. You're just sitting there. You're just, you know, you're just laying up there. You're being a bum. You're just hanging by the ocean. Oh, isn't that nice? Before you know it, you're snoozing. You know? And I'm so laid back that I can't work. I can't work up there. People call me. It's like, have you working on that song for us? Or we have a session to do, or we're getting ready to go on tour, and we want to rehearse, you know. And I got all this music that I have to learn. That's it. You know, I got to go back to the city. I'll never get any work done up here. So I have to go back into the city, go into a studio, and practice and get all my work done, because I haven't been able to break through the, you know, just the tranquility to actually get some work done. It just isn't working like that. I mean, you hear it, all I want to do is like become a vegetable up there, you know. Because I can't get any work done.
Well, you know what, though? This is good, because you realize your balance. You equate writing songs possibly with knowing that you have to put a song or two on the next project. So you're there at the beach, and that's a total differentiation from anything involving work. So naturally, you're relaxed.
Yeah,
you just have to bring that memory with you when you go back to the city.
Let's see if I can do that. I don't know. My next record, I mean, is a whole lot of ballads, and which is good. You know, I always wanted to do a record that was very laid back and really, you know, I did a record when I was at the Tonight Show that I just did because I just wanted to keep, you know, as a musician, you just keep working no matter what you're doing. And it's called Soweta Sun, but that's only released on iTunes and, you know, things like that. It never was a big release with a record company. I just put it on iTunes. And that's a very soothing record. Even I listen to it sometimes when I need to just kind of calm down. But I wanted to do a major release as that same type of feeling on it. Of course, they discourage that because there isn't what they feel is something that is, you know, attracting people right off the bat. There's nothing gripping, you know, it's too laid back. But those records like Miles Davis, Kind of Blue, not that I'm saying my record is anywhere worthy of Kind of Blue, but just the mood of it, just the mood of the things are, you know, those records last forever. They don't, you know, jump right on the charts, but people tend to stay with those records for over a very, very long time. So I actually look for some of those kind of records myself.
Oh, absolutely. And Kevin, you know, because you've been around for quite a while, and you're seasoned not only in playing but in wisdom that you've acquired. You know that if you feel led to play something, you're so variable anyway. You have so many kinds of inspirations, and there's so many kinds of feels on all of your albums. My God, you have to go with what inspires you. So I know that must be a little bit of a headache sometimes in trying to explain to a record company, you know, I'm feeling this way. I feel as though people are going to gravitate to my authenticity. And then you have a record company saying, yeah, but you got to think about what sells. Is that a big problem or no?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say it's a problem. It's just the reality of the business. I understand a record company's point of view, and looking from their perspective, they're right. I mean, they're in a company, they're there to make money, and they make money by selling records. And when everything is in the right place, which means they want to invest in an artist, the artist is naturally, in their style, doing what people naturally want to hear, then you have no problem. Everything's on the same page. You know, I mean, that's in anything, you know. Would Muhammad Ali be Muhammad Ali if it wasn't for the Vietnam War? If, you know, certain things happen where when they all happen at the same time, then you really – it's a challenge, or it's not. People want to hear rap music, and I just have. If I was a rap artist, and I just happen to be, well, I love rap. I'm really peaking, you know, really into it, and that's what people want to hear. And I'm really great at it. Record company wants to do it. Boom, we're good. Everybody's on the same page, you know. But it depends on where you are in your life, what the demographic is saying, you know, this audience wants to hear this and that audience wants to hear that. So a lot of times I wouldn't blame the record company or the artist. It's just when your business, your personality meets society, when those three things are in accordance with each other, then everything flows, you know, very nice. When those three things are not in sync, then you have to work a little bit harder and have a little bit more faith in order to break through things. So I wouldn't say anybody, you know, I wouldn't say it's problematic because anybody's doing something they shouldn't. It might be challenging because just the natural inclination of these three things, the business, the person, and society, are not clearly on the same page. But that's just life.
And that is a really interesting and wise way of explaining something that has been discussed on the show over and over again. And I guess I bring it up because artists that I've been discussing this particular topic with lately, we discuss unique talents. We talk about the fact that there's so much that particular artists can bring to the table. And one of the expressions that I hear that really annoys me, and folks have used it recently, and it never makes sense. I understand where they're coming from, but staying in your lane is something that irritates me, because we don't know. We don't understand how much is in our lane. So let me explore mm-hmm. that territory, okay?
mm-hmm.
And what you have just said is the organic way of doing things. If everything is in place, then it works out business-wise and creatively. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm just happy to be fortunate enough that, you know, I have an audience and they like to hear what I play. If I was a vocalist, if I was, you know, a dancer or this and that, you know, it takes you into different areas. It's, you know, but just as an artist, I really love the fact that there's something for everybody. You know, if whatever kind of music you like, there's somebody that's doing it. And once you find the people that you like, or the varied, you might like a lot of different music, you know, like myself. I like singer-songwriting was always something that, you know, I've loved since I was a kid. And I hope sometime in my career to do a singer-songwriter CD, which probably means I have to put it out myself because nobody's going to want me to do that. But I love the simplicity of that. I love the lyrical content, and I really like that. So at some point, I might have to do it with somebody else to kind of help me along. But that's something that I hope to do in the future. But I love singer-songwriters, and people may not—they might find that surprising. And but there's something for everybody. I mean, it's a whole planet. You know, we're the ones dividing it up, slicing it up, and dicing it up, saying that this is over here and this is over there and over there. But in reality, it's really not like that. It's the whole thing. We truly can't live without each other. You know, I think I went through a period where I just didn't want to come out of the house. I was working on music. I was just doing my own thing. And people were asking, oh, could you come and do this interview? Could you play over here? Could you do this? And I was like, you know what? I'm just not going out of the house. I'm fine. Then I started thinking, I said, what if everybody did that? What if everybody just said, I'm just staying home. You know what? I don't feel like doing it. I'm good for a while. I'm not going anywhere. You wouldn't get, there's no food, there's, you know, no, everything starts to fall apart.
Right.
We really are in need of each other. As uncomfortable as that might make some people, it really is the truth. I mean, what happened if the ambulance worker says, you know, I'm just not going in today. I'm just going to stay, you know, I'm going to just relax for a year. And there's nobody there. The doctor says, oh, I'm just not going in, or, you know, everything just breaks down. The farmer says, you know, I'm not growing anything. I'm just tired. I'm just not going to contribute for the next year or so. So I started thinking about that and how selfish I was being. And then I started saying, well, find things that are on the same page as you, so it's an easier, you know, movement. So if I want to support a certain diet, I want to find a vegan co-op to be a part of, where you meet like-minded people, get your lazy butt out the house, get you away from writing music and all the time and just indulging in your little sphere, and you start to meet interesting people and you find out that they're into that. And before you know it, you get energy, and then you find out the reason I was staying home was because I wasn't exploring my lane. I was just staying in what I thought of as my little thing. But then I realized, wow, I don't have a lane. I have a highway. I have a
whole,
you know, and it turns out that it's not a lane at all. It's a large parameter of things that I really like. So, you know, sometimes I would think that I agree with you on that. We don't know we don't know what a lane is. We don't know the distance of a lane. We don't know the width of a lane, the parameters of a lane. You know, we don't know everything. We just are comfortable with this little thing here. But then if you go to Russia, and I just came back from Russia, if you go there and play a series of concerts, and then you come back and hear the way it's being portrayed on the news, you start to go, well, I was there, and I didn't get that feeling for one instant, which is what people are thinking here because it's portrayed on, you know, on CNN a certain way. But when you go out of your comfort zone or out of what you do every day and see it from a different perspective in that community, in that neighborhood, then it's different. People can see you as being in a certain neighborhood, and they have all their arranged ideas about who you are because they heard about it from a newspaper or, you know, online or on television, and they go, they're defining you in your lane by what somebody's told them. But if they come and they stay with you, then they go, wow, this is nothing like what I thought. So getting out of your lane, but exploring the totality of your lane might bring you some new thoughts, some original thoughts, you might be more comfortable than you think.
You really did say so much, and we don't even talk about this, and what you have said suggested something that clicked in my head. A couple of months ago, for all the talk that we hear that borders on the narcissistic about claiming your life and making yourself happy first and making sure that you get taken care of, and one of the offshoots of that is if it's not fun, don't do it. And that could get you into some serious trouble because of what you just said. You've gone through this epiphany yourself. You've thought, hey, well, what if a doctor doesn't feel like operating on a patient? Oh, it's not fun. What if the trash takers don't want to take the trash out? We have a tendency to be narcissistic and self-indulgent in our society. It's a very fast food society. And I think that you learn better. You've got a lot of wisdom in you. You had some real blessings in your life, and I wanted to make mention one of them. You went to the Settlement School, music school in Philadelphia, and I think that really paved the way for you to have your eyes opened. You had a wonderful musical family, and then you went to this school that also had an attendance at one time or another. The Bacon Brothers, Stanley Clark, Mayor Frank Rizzo, who was a mayor of Philadelphia for a while. It really opened your eyes, didn't it, to a lot of different kinds of people? And did you feel at that time, Kevin, that you wanted to sort of help? I feel about you that you're a big mentor with a soft spot.
Well, all of that kind of happened in retrospect. All I did when I was a kid was just enjoy it. And when I think about it later, I look at how my childhood contributed to the path that I've taken, whether it was playing in a neighborhood band or going to lessons at Settlement, my mother being a public school music teacher, my dad being a policeman working under Frank Rizzo. And as you grow up, you start seeing how, I didn't get here by myself. You know, it was contribution from this person, this experience, that neighborhood band, that although we were just having fun, we were still rehearsing twice a week and doing weddings and proms and things like that on the weekends, which gave you a sense of responsibility. So what happened, perhaps in my case, was that exercising a sense of responsibility is one of the facets of being happy. It makes me happy to be responsible, that I did a good job of what's in front of me. It makes me feel good inside. It gives me confidence. So when I want to just stay home, which everybody has a right to do, but then I go like, okay, I did my share of sitting at home. I need to contribute. And then I do it, and I try and do it well. I go back home and go, yeah, that was a good day. We did good, and it gives you confidence. So exercising a sense of responsibility does bring me a sense of happiness and confidence. And it's not totally self-indulgent other than the fact that I like to indulge myself in doing responsible things in my life, because if we're not for other people being responsible for me or inspiring me that way, I may not have the career and the life that I have now, which I'm very fortunate to have. So it's always just about dancing around and having an overt sense of, you know, happiness. Sometimes if you can be with somebody that needs you at that moment, it may not be a sense of you got a smile from ear to ear, or you're laughing loud, or you have, you know, you got a big fat check, or you got a big promotion or something like that. But it could just be that, you know, fate brought you together with this person and you had a conversation with this person and you both gained something from it. That's a happy moment. That's happiness too. It's not always about acquiring something that brings happiness. It's being, you know, in that perfect moment with somebody is happiness too.
I'm really so stunned and so happy to have talked to you. I'm very mindful of your time, Kevin. You really do have such wisdom, and I'm reminded of a song that I used to play when I was in country music radio, because I've been doing this since 1976. I'm a few years older than you. I've been delving into all different kinds of music myself and really love what I'm hearing about the open doors for jazz, et cetera, now. But one of those country music artists was Merle Haggard, and he sang a song called "The Roots of My Raising." And you have such great raising. They really do go deep, and he says that in his song. Your mom, just being involved in classical piano and an organist as well, your uncle, your older brother Robin, your younger brother Dwayne, your cousins who were involved in music, you have all these inspirations, and because of all these inspirations, you have developed a wisdom. You must have developed this early. And I don't know what the road's going to bring for you, but I'm so immersed now in you as a person as well as your music. Now your music makes more sense to me.
Ah, okay. Well, that's interesting, because all the people that I met at the Tonight Show all these years, one of the many things I've learned was once I got to know the person. And a lot of them were country music artists. Funny that you should say that you were in country radio.
Yeah.
I started meeting, you know, like Willie Nelson and Clint Black, Dolly Parton. They would come on and we'd play their songs, and more they come on and more I get to hang out with them, especially Willie. We used to hang out quite a bit. Once I started to know the person, then it was so much easier to appreciate their music, because I could see their personality in the music. I felt like, well, I know this person, so I was less judgmental about it. It was just, I'm just going to Willie's concert, and I'd go hang out with him on the bus. Or, Leanne Rimes. I played with Leanne Rimes since she was 14. And all the things that Leanne had to go through her career and her personal life. And because she was so talented that she had to grow up in a hurry. And, you know, playing with her on, I didn't get to know her so much, but on the days, you know, we're rehearsing and playing together, since she was 14, you started to see, I hope this girl really makes it and, you know, gets through it without being through, if you know what I mean. I'm pulling for her. And then I started listening to her music, and I could hear that intensity in her voice, in her music, because I kind of knew a little bit, you know, what was going on, that they would rehearse. Oh, that's who those people were. Or that's why Leanne had that funny look on her face and the whole thing. And it's like, Kevin, can we go over this again? And, you know, anything except I don't want to go back to the dressing room. I really wish I had gotten to know her better, but I can understand why. She had so much going on in her life. And just one of my, you know, favorite voices in country music. Well, more kind of gospel country music, I would think, than sound is. And but once I started pulling for her personally, I started listening to her music more like, yeah, you know, I hope this is a great record for her. And I started understanding it a little bit more. And so, you know, artists are people too. And once you know the person, sometimes you start to understand their music and it speaks to you a bit more.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what it's going to do now forevermore for me, because I knew that I valued you as an artist, but hearing what you have to say, it makes me see clearly the truth of your music in a more powerful way. So now I'll really enjoy you at Blues Alley this week.
I hope so. I hope so. Please say hi to me, you know, so we can hang out for a little bit, you know. Please say hi.
Oh, are you kidding? I'm not going to leave D.C. without saying hello to you and giving you a hug for this, because I know your time is limited. You're about to go. I know. I'm going to leave. I'm going to play a couple of more songs, and the song I'm going to close with is JB, and I know that this means a little something to you, so I appreciate everything you do.
Oh, well, thanks for having me, and it was really great to talk to you. You sound really down to earth. And I'm over in your old stomping grounds, over in Jenkintown.
You know what? Look, you just don't know what you have done by mentioning that, because now I'm going to have a little tear in my eye. I miss the Highway Theater. I miss that doggone intersection, Old York Road, right there in the heart of Jenkintown. Oh, jeez. And if you go a little further, you'll see St. Hilary's and Rydell, and where I used to live on Rhodes Avenue in Crosswick Farms. Kevin!
Wow. I know exactly where that is. I go by the Highway Theater a lot because I go to Whole Foods, which is right in the – I mean, you would know where it's at. But, yeah,
man,
it's still there. Sometimes they play old movies, which I love. Old – I guess now they call them Turner Classic movies, but –
Right,
I like the old black and white movies, and they, you know, they start showing them at that Highway Theater now. When I'm in Philly visiting my parents, I like to stop in there.
Who ever would have suspected that Jenkintown would be an elitist neighborhood? I didn't.
That's
oh
a nice
my
neighborhood.
Gosh!
I like Jenkintown. It's cool.
I do too. It's wonderful. I miss Philly. And I will see you. You're going to be there on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Blues Alley. I'll make sure I'll hammer it so you have sold-out shows each night.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Thanks so much.
You are welcome.
Yeah.
Kevin, bless your heart. Thanks for sharing all that you've shared. That was really special. I can't tell you what that means. And I'll tell you in person.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you. Take care, please.
All right. You too. See you soon.
See you. Bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye.
Kevin Eubanks. Oh, my. So glad that he had the time. I know he's going to be spreading his wings and flying. Matter of fact, he went just as quick as that. Sometimes we have guests that hang on because they want to hear the next song, but I'm really tickled. I guess this is going to be his last gym experience before he gets on the plane to come to the D.C. area. So let us make sure that you hear a couple of tracks from The Messenger right now. This is called JB on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you. Thank you.
hope that Steve Miller has heard his song in her golden throat. Gabrielle Goodman, Fly Like an Eagle from Angel Eyes, 2003. Not her current one, of course. Her newest is called Spiritual Tapestry, just a reworking of those Negro spirituals that are just completely wrapped up in this country. And the power that she has on those songs on Spiritual Tapestry is just crazy. But meanwhile, this particular CD did really well. Angel Eyes, featuring Walter Beasley, who we played earlier, Andre Ward, and Armistead Christian. Gabrielle doing her thing, enjoying the success of her latest album. And hopefully, maybe we can sell a couple of Angel Eyes for her while you're thinking about that song, Fly Like an Eagle. So nice to hear another version of that, isn't it? Woo! We heard a couple of songs from Kevin Eubanks, and don't you feel blessed to have spent 30 minutes with him? Where am I? Seriously, that was some kind of wisdom. And we didn't even get to the topic of the fact that he's the world's sexiest vegetarian man as of 2007. Yeah, he was named that year. Man, he is something else. And by the way, he did go to the Settlement Music School in Philadelphia, which was founded by two women, by the way, in 1908. And you know who else went to that school? Albert Einstein. Isn't that crazy? So you know that it's not any kind of dissimilar thought to think Albert Einstein to what you heard in those 30 minutes. Because seriously, when somebody can make you rethink a couple of different subjects, it makes you pause, doesn't it? Wow, that was something else. Cannot wait to see him at Blues Alley this week. Great. Look, I want to play a couple of songs before we go. I'm real thankful that Kevin stopped by, and I'm real thankful that part of my blood is Irish. Yesterday was St. Patrick's Day, and I wanted to play an instrumental song for you and then a vocal. It was not only St. Patrick's Day, but a really special birthday for someone that is no longer with us. So a little tribute to him, second song. First song, different sort of take. You won't find this on an album from what I know. I'm looking at the single. It came from the single from the movie Phenomenon, Change the World by Eric Clapton. This is Eric doing Danny Boy on Hybrid Jazz. Thank you. as it turns out, we don't have what I thought we needed in the way of time for that last song. It will keep until Thursday. Trust me, it will. And it gives me more time to be able to tell you that, first of all, that was Eric Clapton, again, on the B-side of Change the World back in the 90s from Phenomenon. Remember that movie? Oh, my God. How good was that movie with Kira Sedgwick and John Travolta? Look, I have some news that I need to share with you. I just learned this in the past 20 minutes. I knew to tell you that on Thursday we would have Bobby Caldwell with us at 2 o'clock. But what I didn't know until 20 minutes ago was that Ryan Culbertson comes our way at the third hour of the show. So it will be Bobby Caldwell at 2 and then Brian Culbertson at 3 on Thursday's Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hey, God is good in the neighborhood. What can I say? Thank you, Rick Scott, for making that happen. Thank you, Mary Caldwell, for making Bobby toe the line. God bless his heart. Bobby's going to be at Bethesda Blues and Jazz doing a special Frank Sinatra Yes show. And then Brian is every place, as you might suspect. So we'll get our ducks in a row and get ready for a really colossal show on Thursday. Once again, thanks to Kevin Eubanks for stopping by. It was awesome. Really was. Won't get over that. And it's going to be a busy weekend. Kyle, Bobby, Kevin, what? Oh, big to-do for Mia Simone, and I'll give you more particulars on that on Thursday as well. So put a bookmark in that thought, and we'll see you in a couple of days right here on Hybrid Jazz. Thanks to Susie for stopping by, Beach for always being there, Pete Gitlin for hanging out with us, and all our guests who have been here and there, and especially to my good friend Ron, enjoying the show today because of one of his heroes, Kevin Eubanks. God bless you. See you soon.